The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Let us read from the verse number 17 to the verse number 25 with the help of our Lord. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is the passage that I desire to read. And now let us kneel down before the Lord and seek his guidance and his blessings upon his holy word today. Vamos a orar ahora. Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, te rogamos este día en el nombre de Jesucristo, su Hijo unigénito, nuestro Salvador, danos sus bendiciones sobre tu palabra para leer y entender y vivir. Perdónanos, Padre Celestial, que no podemos orar más en esta lengua buena y hermosa. Pero te pedimos, Padre, a darnos este amor de Jesucristo para una visita en espíritu de entender un otro. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou bless thy holy word today and give us an open heart and mind to receive the light of thy truth anew. And O Heavenly Father, help us to understand one another in Christian love and Christian kindness, to be patient, and as we labor in thy spirit, that we also rest in Christ, knowing that only thy grace and thy goodness is the source of all gifts and blessings for us and the others that we get acquainted as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for this opportunity. We thank thee, O Lord, for the abundance of thy holy word and for thy grace in the Savior, that thou, O Heavenly Father, even today, even after so many centuries, thou art still proclaiming thy gospel. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that today thou make us a voice of thy truth, that thou make us, O Heavenly Father, a good example of true godliness, sincere, dedicated discipleship. And O Heavenly Father, we pray that thou give us that calm and peaceful soul. Make us not fearful and fretting in our great desire to extend the word of the truth to the other people around. But help us to labor in the liberty which Thou hast given us in Christ. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray for that strong, unwavering faith, a constant hope to keep us in expectation of Thy coming. Lord God Almighty, Thou art King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Fill our hearts with love and gratitude. Teach us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Teach us to worship Thee, O Lord, with praise and adoration. And above everything else, to worship Thee, O Lord, in the spirit of obedience, spirit of Christ. Help us to see that Thy will is the only good one for us. And teach us, O Heavenly Father, to rely upon Thy goodness and mercy, upon Thy help. And in relying upon Thy help, O Lord, help us to be zealous for Thy name. Keep us from false reliance, which our enemy would like to ensnare us with, that we rely on Thee and do nothing. Teach us, O Heavenly Father, and keep us from self-reliance, that we should not trust in our strength and forget Thy guidance and Thy instruction. Gracious Lord, Thou art God. And today, if Thy will be again, that I visit the sick and the elderly, together with Simon. And when I ask him, O Lord, to read Thy word to those that understand Spanish. Heavenly Father, I pray, join our hearts and our minds in that prayer, in that desire, that as he is reading, that he might also understand. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou hast such a wisdom and such abundant grace in Christ for all. Lord, we know that we are not worthy of Thy goodness and grace, and yet Thou hast been so gracious, so loving, so merciful, so abundant in gifts and blessings, O Lord. And we pray that Thou proclaim Thy gospel, touch the hearts, O Lord, that Thou art calling, and deliver the souls that Thou hast redeemed in Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, bless this short time of visiting and fellowship. Exalt the name of Christ. Glorify Thy Son, O Lord. He is worthy that Thou give to Him all those that are Thine. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may we be Thine with our whole soul and body, mind and spirit. And Thou, O Father, in Thy wonderful and glorious love, make us completely given to Christ the Lord. Great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness, Lord. Bless Thy holy word. Exalt the name of the Savior. Glorify Thy name. Defeat the enemy. Destroy the works of darkness. Deliver Thy people. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, and unite Thy flock. Separate us from the world of sin and iniquity. And yet, make us Thy faithful witnesses to reach out to the world, not for the sake of the worldly pleasures, but to proclaim the glory and majesty the justice, the righteousness, and the mercy that thou hast revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. You can fold the page if you want to keep it. Well, I'm confident that you join me in that desire, as I also prayed. I think we all prayed that the Lord would give us that zeal and that desire which He already has given us to reach toward every soul that the Lord will bring into our midst, in our presence. And also to be, in a way, relaxed, zealous and relaxed. It's not very easy for us to be like that, is it? We are either or. Either we are zealous and then tensed, or we are relaxed and not very zealous. But today I would like us to prayerfully plead, ask that from the Lord, to be relaxed, to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to have that in mind, that we are here to reach toward one another. Now, as we desire to touch a heart with the love of the Lord, we must be very careful to be patient and kind with one another. We cannot exclude the personal example from our testimony. So it's very important that today we all be guests before our Lord and let Him be the host, and on the other hand that we all join together in hearing His voice and just following His steps. I think that the Lord Jesus Christ invited His disciples to follow Him. He told them quite plainly, "Follow me." And they left everything and they followed Him. But then, as He went through from one place to another, as they were walking through Judea and Galilee and even parts of Samaria, I don't think that He had to tell them every day, "Follow me. Now I'm leaving from this place to another, follow me." No, they just followed. Just as the people of Israel in the days of old, they were watching that pillar of light by night, and the shade of that cloud that was keeping the heat of the sun away from them as they were walking through the wilderness. They were watching the presence of the Lord, and as the cloud moved, they moved. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped. And the first ones that followed the signs of the Lord were the priests with the Ark of the Covenant. And the rest of the people were watching and following. So I think that's the same, if I can say so, style that the Lord would like us to do, to practice that, to see what the Lord, the will of the Lord is, and then we just do that to one another and all together, to those or to Him that is visiting with us. Here in the chapter 4, we read some parts last couple meetings, and we read here that in the verse number 11, that the Lord has given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And what I see in the world, when they departed from the Lord And they did not have the apostles and did not have the prophets and did not have the true evangelists. They put the label on some people. And they call them, in some groups they call them prophets. In other groups they call them evangelists. And in many groups they are named pastors and teachers and so on. But really, if one is not teaching the Word of God in purity, in godly fear, in respect to His will, then they are false teachers and false prophets and false apostles. And the Lord Jesus Christ said that there will be even false Christs. So what are we supposed to do? Is it very important for us, or the most important, that we have apostles among us, that we have prophets, especially those that can predict the future, that can tell us if the economy is going to turn this way or that way, if the stock market is going to plunder or rise up or something like that? Some groups have that, and they rely on that. Is that the most important for us? What is the most important part of our relationship with the Lord? And probably the question is the answer to itself. The relationship with the Lord. The most important thing. We see that the apostles were given as a gift from the Lord, a blessing. And the prophets, and they prophesied and they proclaimed the Word of God. And they predicted the future in some cases. Even in the New Testament we find that. And not only in the first few years of the apostolic ministry, but also many years afterward, when Paul the Apostle was preaching, there was a prophet that descended from Jerusalem and came to the disciples, to the Christians in other places, and told them that there will be famine. There will be scarcity of food, difficult time in Jerusalem. And they, the disciples, when they heard that, they believed the Word of God, and they gathered provisions and probably money to send help to the believers in Jerusalem. That's wonderful, that's great. However, if we don't have prophets, are we still Christians? If we don't have apostles among ourselves, are we still Christians? Even in the days of the prophets and the apostles, there were some Christians with the label and not really in the true relationship with the Lord. We have those examples that are not good examples, that are a warning to us to be careful, to be on guard, and so on. So instead of giving names and titles, we just cleave to the Word of God and do what the Lord is commanding us, and let Him take care of the names and titles. He is going to take care of everything, but He is commanding us to have His love among ourselves, to be bound in one fellowship of true disciples of Christ. Without that sign, without that sign upon our foreheads and our right hand, without that seal of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, Christian love, Christian desire to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord toward one another and together toward the world, toward the neighbors, toward the friends, and so on. To proclaim the Word of God with our words, but more with our example, our godly living. The Lord has given everything for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying, perfecting, ministering to one another. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That's an important part and a great gift of ministering to one another. And I sense a need in my own life to learn much more of that. To be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's not to be quick to hear and to clench my teeth, not to allow myself to speak. No, that's not sufficient, because that's only part of the job. Self-control is important. But to be controlled by the Spirit of the Lord, not to have that urgent need to speak when there is no time and no good opportunity to speak, and to have that desire to speak out when we see that the Lord has prepared a situation to speak, to say, to help. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until that time, this is given to us, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, teachers, the whole Bible, and the few that are laboring in the Lord today and walking, following the Savior today. All of that is given to us for the perfecting, that we be true, real saints, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is going to last until we all come in the unity of faith. Until we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, don't we have some knowledge? It happens. It happens among the believers that they benefit from the apostles, from the apostolic writings, from the prophetic books, from the gospel books, and from the teaching and example of the others still walking upon the face of this earth, until they get some knowledge, they receive some knowledge, and then they cannot learn anymore. Now, they are content, they are satisfied, they know the Bible, they don't commit adultery, they don't lie openly, they don't steal, they don't commit any violence, and so on, and they feel content, just that they have no desire to still keep growing and walking after the Lord. That's one snare of the enemy. Another one is, when we have some knowledge, we desire more knowledge and more knowledge, and we study the Word of God, but we never change. We never do a major step forward. We just keep going in circles. That's another snare of the Satan, of the enemy. There is another one that I notice extremely dangerous. Once we acquire so much knowledge, and after not doing anything, we desire to be teachers, and we want to teach and teach and teach, and we cannot keep quiet, and we are not aware of the needs and the situation that is around us. We just want to exercise that gift and that blessing that we receive, not knowing that it is most important that we follow the Savior. So, what is that good and right path that we should follow? I wish I could, in a few words, just say everything. I know that many teachers would say the love of Christ. Oh yes, yes, that's true. That's true. What is the love of Christ? If you love me, keep my commandments. If anyone thinks that he knows something, he knows nothing as he should. Where is, or what is that measure? Well, till we all come into the unity of faith. What is the unity of faith now? And how do we come into the unity of faith? What is the unity of faith? There are people that seem to be quite united, and they praise one another, and together they seem to be praising the Lord. But their life is just not in harmony with the Word of God. Part of the Bible is for the future, part of the Bible is for the past, for the other people, and this little part that does not bestow any obligation upon us, oh, that's our part. And all is the grace of God, and the grace of God, and the love of God, and this and that. eat and drink and be merry, tomorrow we die. Just Gentile religion in disguise. What is our direction? What is the teaching of the Lord? What unity of faith He is offering to us? That we be united with the apostles, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Word of God, not only with one another. Any unity with one another will not last unless it is the unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the Son of God. What is the true knowledge of the Son of God? The practice, the life. And yes, in the same day, we can feel just about desperate because we are so far from the example of Christ. And we can be thrilled in the same day because God is still working and still reaching out. And God is still declaring the Word of God through us. So imperfect. So the right way, the right path of righteousness is loving and growing in love. Knowing the Word of God and growing in the knowledge of God. Obeying the Word of God and striving to be more obedient. And once, with the help of the Lord, we obey the Word of God. Then immediately we continue praying that we obey the Word of God, not as a commandment, but as our first choice. As something that we just love doing. As the apostles told to the priests, we cannot be quiet about the things that we know. We just cannot cease proclaiming the gospel with our life, with our example, with our testimony in the words, the Word of God. That we, verse 14, you see that I did not complete any of the verses. I just touched each one that I read so far after reading the passage selected for today. Just trying to connect that passage with the preceding passage in the same chapter. That statue of Christ, the fullness of Christ, it's a wonderful condition. It's an excellent, wonderful state of the heart. And I think we all had some experience with that. And our prayer and desire is that that experience not only be more and more frequent, but continual, constant. That we henceforth be no more children, verse 14, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the deceitfulness of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Today, as I went to pick up Simon and bring him over here, I noticed that that whole area, just about, I don't know exactly, but maybe 90% of the people are Spanish-speaking people. And as I was waiting in front of his door, a young woman, probably a girl, and even a younger boy, came and they knocked at the other door and they were waiting. They were not Mexicans. They were not, apparently not even speaking Spanish. They were knocking at the door of the other apartment and waiting and waiting and knocking, and after a while they left. And I imagine that they might be from some of these groups, like so-called witnesses or some other ones, trying to invite some people to come to their church Sunday morning and so on. They're working. And what I try to read those faces. I try to see what is in their hearts, in their minds, you know. And I could see on their faces that they're hypnotized. You could see those eyes that are looking like in a dream, like somewhat intoxicated. See, someone out there was lying in wait and managed to deceive them with that cunning craftiness. And these young woman and young man, I think the boy is about anywhere between 14 and 16 years old. They probably believe that they're doing the will of the Lord. How can someone be deceived? Desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Partial signs of a relationship with God are very deceitful. And the people today are, I think, swayed or kind of carried with that cunning craftiness and the powers or the enticement of the individuals and groups around us is promising earthly future, good retirement, perhaps even a good job, good income. They're promising miracles, healing, deliverance from any difficulty, any trouble, and so on. And the people fall after that. But if they were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that starts with the words, repent and believe the gospel, forsake the world and follow the Lord, there would be no deception. That would be that simple and wonderful and bright revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to do exactly that. And we should do exactly that. And we should desire to do that and not to envy the deception of those that deceive and of those that are being deceived. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him. That's verse number 15. Into Him in all things. In Him who is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. When do the people lie most sweetly? When they love one another with an earthly love. They flatter one another. They exchange compliments. They encourage one another. All the time lying. Speaking the truth in love can be very gentle and can be very powerful. It can be also very harsh, sharp. As we do that, as we try to do that, as we strive to obey the Lord in that, we grow. We grow up into Him in all things. And many times, I see myself very incomplete, very inadequate, very limited in ability to do the will of the Lord. And sometimes by the end of the day, it's so overwhelming that the only thing I can do is just to cry to the Lord, Lord, I'm so weak. I'm so poor. And yet, the Lord is working. He is the head, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we try to use our heads in everything that we do, to think, to know what we are doing, and to do our best, so in our faith, in our relationship with one another, we should use our head, His wisdom, His understanding, His teaching. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, and from Him the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This verse is a chapter in itself. When we are united in Christ, that unity that we read in the preceding verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, through that we can sense, we can experience that we are one with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are part of His body. The whole body is fitly joined together. You see, it's very important to have the apostles and the prophets and evangelists and teachers and every gift and every ministry and so on, and we still can be quite disunited. In the days of the apostles, Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, they were not united with the others. They had their own teaching, their own gospel, and that gospel was deadly to them. The enemy is trying to disunite the people of God and to lead astray every one of us. But when we grow in the Word of God, when we are growing, when we are learning and practicing, when through our practice we receive that true knowledge of the Son of God, we are growing toward the perfection. And then we have that awareness of His fellowship, His presence, unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even those that are far away, even those individual believers, brothers or sisters that are far away, they have the unity in Christ, and we are all one body. Oh yes, we would like to have a wonderful and great church and a good congregation and to just abound in fellowship and to edify one another and all together to be edified by the Spirit and the Word of God and so on. That's all wonderful. And we pray for that. And may the Lord grant it to us. And may He help us to labor in that direction and so on. But the most important thing is that each one of us, whether we are together or separated and scattered all over the face of the earth, that we each one walk with the Lord. Then we will have that unity. If we are together and each one is not walking with the Lord, we will not have that unity. And the earthly unity is a disaster. It's just a temporary disguise for a disaster that is coming. Edifying, that body is edifying itself in love. Effectual working in the measure of every part. We need not fret. We need not be nervous if one of us cannot sing as beautifully as the other. If one of us is not as gifted with speech as the other. We are all gifted with this Word of God, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to listen diligently to the voice of His Spirit. Spirit of meekness and modesty. A humble spirit. Spirit that is edifying each one of us and all together in Christ. In the love of Christ. But then we are given some warnings. How to be careful. how to keep ourselves from the snare of Satan even in our sincere desire to serve the Lord. We can make mistakes because we are far from His perfect example. There is so much to learn. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Oh. I remember when I was young and I believed that I was a real Christian, sincere Christian, and I probably was. But there was so much vanity, so much habitual vanity. There was vanity in the church. Each one of us that could sing tried to sing better than the other. Each one of us that were leading, coordinating singing, tried to develop one's own style. And there was so much vanity, and we were born in that vanity, spiritually I say, and we were growing in that, and we were not aware of that. As a matter of fact, we were somewhat aware that the others are having vanity, but not I. No, I was all right. And each one of us was all right. And yet all together, we lived in vanity. And I wonder, what is our vanity today? Maybe there is some that we are not aware of. Vanity is a great deception. And what is vanity? Emptiness. Emptiness. Nothingness. That's vanity. Can we make the Word of God mixed with vanity? I remember there were some visitors, some Christians from another place, they came to our church. They were all glazed with holiness. They were so kind, and every word of theirs was in a subdued voice, in a such holiness and godliness. I was a young boy, a lad at that time, and I was looking at them. They were so holy. I just desired to be at least half as holy as they. It was so, and everybody pays attention to them. And there was a young man, and he was pretty tall and handsome, and his manners were so kind and so calculated, and everything was just beautiful. And a few months later, after this show of godly spiritual vanity, can I say it that way? Such a difficult combination. A few months later, he was taken into the military service and sentenced, I don't know exactly, 3 or 4 years imprisonment, and his holiness and his godliness, as soon as he was away from the others, away from the those that admired him, that supported him, that continually flattered him with his kindness and godliness, and that appearance, you know, just was depleted. And he didn't last there longer, I think, than a year and a half. Now, the fact that he did endure a year and a half tells me that he believed that he was a Christian. Otherwise, he wouldn't be wasting time. Why would he accept imprisonment at all? He didn't have to. He declared himself a Christian. He refused to obey godlessness and so on. And he was imprisoned. But then, short time after that, vanity prevailed and godliness diminished. When the Word of God is mixed with worldliness, then the Word of God is choked and worldliness is growing like the weeds, like the wild brush around here. And we know why that brush is growing, getting ready for the next fire. And that's exactly what happened. His building of faith was not made of precious stones and precious metals. It was built of the combustible material, the material that burned up. The most difficult sins of the Christians are not the sins of the individuals. No. Not secret sins. Oh, they're dangerous. They're deadly. Those secret sins. They're very dangerous. But the more dangerous and more difficult and treacherous sins are those that we forgive ourselves and do not persist in seeking the forgiveness of God. We simply trust His goodness and grace and we forgive ourselves. Hey, that's very dangerous. The true forgiveness brings not only peace and joy, that is important, very important, but also obedience. Obedience. Faithfulness. And the desire to grow. I want to know the will of my Father. I want to follow the Lord Jesus, my Savior. I desire to serve Him. But in my limited understanding and my imperfect evaluation, the most important sins are collective sins. The sins that we learned, that we fellowship with, that we approve of, the sins that we believe are normal. It's just all right. It always has been done like that. That's how I received. That's how I will keep, and so on. You know, how would that be? When someone says, as I received, I will keep it, thinking that he is saying the word of God, and actually he thinks, as I received from my parents or from my ministers or from my church, my congregation, my tradition, that's what I'm going to keep. He might be saying, as I was living on milk first few days of my life, I will continue that way until my death. Could be. And could be something worse than that. The collective sins are the most difficult to recognize. That we walk not with other Gentiles. And I think that many Christians are just less Gentiles than the other Gentiles, but not quite Christians. And that's a terrible thing. It's an awful thing. I try also to visualize, to imagine that situation of so many believers. Imagine if Noah was building the ark, when he was building the ark, and when he was preaching, there was perhaps quite a group of people. Now, that's an illustration. I don't know if it really happened that way. But I think that there were quite a few people that came to see the ark, and perhaps in that long period of time, the false teachers, the teachers of the majority of believers in those days, were teaching their flock, their members, not to believe Noah, not to follow the word of God. Of course, they would call that the word of heresy. And some of the younger believers of their group would desire to see that Noah, after hearing so much about him and about that ark, you know, a big ship being built on the hill, and they would come to see it. I would think so. And there might be quite a group of people that listened to Noah's preaching many days. They were very close to the ark, but they were not building the ark. And if they were close to that ark, right there by the door of the ark, until the moment of the great flood, until the door of the ark was closed, were they Christians or were they Gentiles? Who are they? Was anybody saved very close to the ark? No. Only those that were in the ark. So, here's the teaching that is inside the ark. Be ye not as other Gentiles, in vanity of their mind that is far from the mind of Christ. They have understanding darkened. Do we have our understanding darkened? I'm not saying this to shake up our faith, but rather the opposite. How can understanding of those that claim to be Christians darkened? Well, simply. Very simple. First, that unity of the faith with the Bible is missing. They have some parts of the Bible. And they act like children. They're great teachers. They're great speakers. They're seminar leaders and so on. they just act like waves, and these believers are like little children, carried back and forth, left and right, having no direction, not following the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They use His name. And they might even know quite a few meanings of the words in Greek and Hebrew and so on. But not that true conversion. I will, to the best of my knowledge and understanding, harmonize with the Word of God, and I will live and die with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a Christian. Understanding is darkened whenever we have a teaching, a doctrine, an example that is not in the Scripture, not in the Bible. And when I say that, I can almost hear the voices of some people. Where is it in the Bible that the television is seen? Where is it in the Bible how long should be a dress and how open? Where is it in the Bible that men and women may not go half naked and just about naked all the way out in the public, in the beaches and their body fitness places and that kind of things? Where is that in the Bible? Everywhere. Everywhere. The Bible is filled with that. And only those that squeeze their eyes and won't see it, they won't see it. Did God command Adam and Eve to walk naked? Didn't He clothe them? Should we know better than God today? Having the understanding darkened. And through that, lack of understanding, lack of the desire to understand, alienated from the life of God. When they see godliness, they don't like it. That's so strange. Should our young girls walk like grandmas around? Should our young men be so serious and not enjoy the life? Did God create all the blessings for the sinners only? We hear all kind of false doctrines and false teachings. Blindness of their heart. Deliberate blindness. Selected, chosen, preferred blindness. Do we have some of that? Are we willing to just reject all the religion of the Gentiles? Are we willing to follow the Lord no matter how much it seemed to cost? No matter how much the others will despise and reject us. But now look. In the preceding verses, unity of the Spirit in the verse number 3. Unity of the body of believers in the verse number 4. Unity in the hope of our calling, verse number 4. One Lord in verse number 5. One faith, unity in the faith. United in baptism. Verse 6. One God the Father. The whole heaven and paradise is ours. It's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's glorious to serve the Lord. And it's just great to be part of His body. To speak the truth in love. Christian life, even with all difficulties, struggles, battles, persecutions, everything, the Christian life is still the most beautiful life on this whole earth. There is no way of living that is more precious and more enjoyable. It's a delightful way of living. It's an awful thing when this, verse 19, finds place among the believers. Being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Could it be that we, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet in our life there is something that we are trained and that we accepted since our early childhood, and we grew up with that, and now we look into the Word of God and we twist the Word of God and we turn it around and we try to connect the things that are not related to one another and disconnect those that are, just not to face the truth that there is something that we should change. That's an awful thing. Past feeling. Not having that healthy, sound feeling of what is godly and what is not. And then verse 20 is a warning to us, but ye have not so learned Christ. How did we learn the Lord Jesus Christ? Even in Gethsemane. Even when he is praying, if it be possible that this cup pass by me, that I drink it not, but not my will, but thy will be done. Now, if he prayed like that, how should we pray? Even if I don't understand why so many things are the way they are, the Word of God and the guidance of His Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is important. And whether I understand or not, I'll obey. And I will have peace and fellowship in the Spirit of the Lord. I think that's a godly decision. I believe that that's the desire and the condition of the heart of those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not so learned Christ Jesus our Savior. We have not learned Christ with those feelings that are against the Word of God, that disregard the Word of God. Our God does not have any commandment, any instruction, any teaching too big and too great that we cannot obey it, nor too small and too insignificant that we should not pay attention to it. If so be that we have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Lying. Put away lying. Do not pretend. Speak truth with one another. We are members of one another. Oh, I believe that these verses would take a lot more time and a much better teacher and expositor. But there is no greater, no better teacher than the Spirit of our Lord. May the Lord give us grace to continue in prayer, to understand His Word, and to obey from the heart. Just to love the Lord and rejoice in His goodness and grace until we all grow up, until we see Him as He is. May the Lord bless His Word and be with us, that we also may be with Him as long as we are pilgrims here. Amen.